This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Scott, you ready?
Oh, yes, I am ready to laugh and laugh and laugh.
This is maybe one of my favorite stories ever.
Okay.
Ever. Here
That's
it is.
Saying a lot.
The man who learned he could suck water up into his anus and turned it into a career.
It really is the back half of that sentence that brings it all together. All right, well, let's learn about career choices on this episode of Bananas.
Welcome to Bananas. That's Scotty Landis.
That's Kurt Brownoller. We're doing this one live and in person for the first time since our second episode.
The first time since... That is crazy.
It is crazy.
That cover of the Bananas theme song was done by the Pom Poms.
Mm-hmm. Jessie Payo.
She's fantastic and wonderful, a great musician, and made a really great cover, I thought.
Probably a future guest on Bananas podcast, I would say.
That's a great idea.
Probably a future guest.
So,
anyways,
before we bring on our very, very special guest, we have a very, very big announcement.
Mm-hmm.
We have been talking about it since we began this podcast, Scotty.
Mm-hmm. We've wanted to do this the entire time.
Bananas
mm-hmm.
is going on tour.
Yes, we are. We're doing a mini tour.
Starting off, we're going to go to Connecticut.
Heard of it.
Space Ballroom, Hamden, Connecticut, October 23rd.
Cannot wait.
That's the first one. October 28th, back in Los Angeles.
Yes, we are.
At the Dynasty Typewriter.
Probably a Halloween episode.
And live streamed as well for people who are not in Los Angeles.
That's right.
Then we've got November 11th and 12th, Indianapolis,
mm-hmm.
White Rabbit Cabaret.
The heartbeat of America.
Then October. No, that's in November.
We know our dates.
I know our dates. Yeah, November 11th, November 12th, Indianapolis and Fort Wayne. And then finally ending November 18th at the Bell House in Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's going to be the best.
It's all locked down. Go to the Instagram for tickets. It's all in our link, or just go to Linktree/Bananas
Probably.
Podcast.
We're coming for you, America, so get ready.
Get ready. All right, you want to bring our guest on?
The most special guest.
The most special guest. Probably, she was our first guest.
Yes.
First guest before the Great Choir began.
Yeah.
And since then, she started listening to Bananas every once in a while, maybe one or two episodes. But she definitely bought a Best in the Biz shirt.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
She really wants to talk, but we haven't said her name yet. She is an absolute... She's a world-class comedian.
Powerhouse.
She's a blockbusting actor. You can see her in the new season of What We Do in the Shadows that just came mm-hmm. out, as well as the fantastic Disney show, The Mysterious Benedict Society. Please welcome to the show,
Kristen Shaw.
Thank you so much for having
God.
Me.
Oh my
you left out Bob's Burgers.
Oh, well, and always on Bob's Burgers for the past 12 years.
Yeah.
Has it been 12 years?
Season 13 we're making.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah, that's
incredible.
The Mysterious Benedict Society is so good.
You're watching it?
Yes, I am. It is amazing. Aww. And also, you are like
that
really...
That warms my heart.
You're doing some like Really? You're doing some acting chops there.
Oh, yeah? Thanks for noticing. Oh, that's really sweet. Thanks, Kurt. That means a lot that you watch the show. That's
nice. It's really special. It's a really special show.
I get choked up.
Yeah.
Friends who support each other. Wow. Now I feel bad I didn't fly to Denver to see your stand-up.
You should have. It was great. It was a huge hit. People loved it.
Yeah, people loved
it. I'm excited for people to see it. Yeah, it'll be out good. Someday.
Are you guys requiring vaccinations?
At the shows? We sure are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just didn't get mentioned.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. We're requiring vaccinations or proof a negative COVID test at the shows.
That's great.
Yeah. Live the dream, guys. Come on out. Yeah. You can come within 6 feet, but not within 2 feet. Come on in. So how are you?
Really good. I'm really excited to be here with the two of you.
Oh,
I wanted to be with you guys in person because you're my best friends and
I missed you.
And
that's right.
We got out of the house. We got to get out of the house. We're in Scotty's office.
Yeah, Scotty has an office.
Scotty has an office that maybe it looks like he's either an evil genius or a record producer in 1985.
Yep. That's exactly right.
It's got this crazy...
It's very Tommy Mottola-esque, yes.
Double staircases that wind up to almost like a... Oh, you know what it reminds me of, Kristen? The Delta Terminal, or no, the Pan Am Terminal at JFK. Was it Pan Am?
I don't know what you're talking
Pan
about,
Am
yeah.
It doesn't exist, but...
It was TWA.
Yeah, it was TWA. Yeah,
the TWA Terminal at JFK. It was like built in the 60s. It was like that idea of the future rocket ships in the 60s kind of style.
Yes.
That's what this place reminds me of.
Yeah, we're in a very cool loft space for Scotty to spread his wings as a writer.
Yep,
and
trying to make
fly
it.
Some stories into our... Hearts.
Yeah, it's true. And you guys are my first guests. I haven't had anybody over yet because of the great choir, but I think we can record here anytime.
Did
you
get someone to design the
chair?
Because these chairs match the couch.
Yes.
So Scotty's dining room chairs
have
a Moroccan color kind of theme that's popping. And he's pulled it all together.
I thought you would like it because when we all moved out to LA around the same time, you got your car. You told me because it was red, and you wanted. And I was like, "Yes, that's exactly what." And so when I was getting this and putting it all together, I was like, "Kristen's gonna like it in here."
Yeah,
I do.
Oh, because it's all like bright primary colors.
I like bright popping colors.
Yeah.
And they a lot of people shy away from them because they don't think it's sophisticated.
Thank you.
But I disagree.
Thank you even more.
I think it means you're confident.
Yeah, I agree with you as well.
I yell I'm confident all the time. It's the best way to let people know that you are. Hello.
Feeling okay about myself when I walk into a party.
That's just how we live.
Do you want to hear about this guy? Kristen,
yes.
Yeah,
I think
the
this
anal
is like
squirty, the squirter.
It's right up your alley, Kristen.
It really
so
is.
Much.
Career and entertainment. There are a lot of different paths you can take, you know?
100%.
Yeah.
People don't realize that. Or maybe they do now because there's so many influencers.
This guy was the first influencer. So this was sent in by Colleen Trapp on Instagram. Thank you, Colleen.
Thank you, Colleen. Kind.
Is that Trapp with two P's or
it
one?
It is with two P's. Okay. Thank you, Kristen.
You're welcome.
This, again, the title, The Man Who Learned He Could Suck Water Up Into His Anus and Turned It Into a Career. This is on IFL Science.
Oh, yeah. Kirk's favorite.
Is that a legitimate scientific
it
publication?
Is, actually.
Yeah, we have a lot of things from IFL Science. They do a good job of citing all of their sources and stuff like that.
Okay, so this isn't like an Inquirer.
No.
Everything that comes to the Bananas podcast is legit.
Except for once.
We got duped once.
I got duped once by the CBC, the CBC Canadian Broadcast Corporation. You used to have a satirical Onion type show, but it was on the CBC website, so I assume since it was the CBC website, it was real. It was not. It was a very funny article about a man who was trapped on a
drop tower in an amusement park for 48 hours.
And he went up and down 20,000 times.
Good. That would have been good.
We have no regrets. We did it. We left it on. We got duped only a once so
only
far.
Only a once.
Well, thank you for your transparency.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We tried it. It would be no fun if we only did fake stories or if we ever did fake stories.
True.
Well, yeah, but some of these stories that you guys do are so out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like the one where it was raining, that weird
the blobs.
Rain. Yeah, that the blob rain.
The Oakville
that
blobs,
was real,
right?
I guess.
We should go up there, too. We should all go. We should do a friend trip and see the blob.
Oh,
blob
yeah.
Blob fest.
People don't even remember it anymore.
Thank
there.
You.
So, this is amazing. This is not, there's no credit for this.
Well, that's suspicious.
But I'm going to read, well, it's like IFL science staff.
It's a bunch of scientists and lab coats just walking around.
Going, I fucking love science. I fucking love science.
I'm confident.
I don't need to put my name on
this. I mean, I don't want to put my name on this. All right, here we go. Mm-hmm. In Spider-Man, a young Peter Parker is given superpowers by a radioactive spider bite, decides to fight crime.
Okay.
Blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
blah.
Sure.
We get it.
That's a very famous franchise.
In 19th century France.
Yes, sir.
19th century France. Mm-hmm. A young Joseph.
I'm sorry, 19th century. So is that, we're talking
1800s.
Like, why do they do that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Can we just fix it?
I know. We should have fixed it a long time ago. This should be the 20th century right now, but instead it's the 21st century. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's the people in the first century don't care if they were the non-century. Do you know what
like
I mean?
Like having a one-year-old. So when I say, well, when you were one, you did this for Halloween, but when you were zero-ishes, you did this.
Yeah.
So that's sort of what we're dealing with.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Well, it's just the fact that there's the first century. Like year one was in the first century, apparently. Okay. You know?
To them, maybe. They're all dead. Screw them.
Exactly. They don't care. Let's fix it. Here we go. 19th century France. Mm-hmm. A young Joseph Pujol was taking a swim when he realized he could inhale vast volumes of water through his anus.
Okay.
Eventually deciding to turn it into a hit stage show at the Moulin Rouge under the name Le Pétoman, the Fartomaniac. Okay.
Whoa. Which,
first of all, this is a sketch by Mr. Show.
Yeah,
from the original Mr. Show sketch.
Yeah, this is brilliant.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Pujol, born in 1857, was on holiday when he discovered his superpower, still in school at the age of 10, which turned out to be a complete waste of time given his eventual career.
I guess so.
He was holding his breath underwater when he felt the strange cold sensation of a large volume of ocean water shooting up into his rectum.
Wow.
When he understandably fled the water, he noticed the liquid leaking out. The boy mentioned the incident to his family doctor, who laughed and dismissed his gift, telling him it was nothing to be concerned about, or rather contact the Avengers. For a time, Joseph forgot his skill. Of course, this is a beautiful story.
Yes, of course.
Years later, however, after recounting the anecdote to his friends in the French army, he decided to try it once more.
They just didn't go swimming a lot back then, I guess.
I guess not,
He went for one dip.
He went for one.
And then 10 years went by before
one
he decided to go.
And then talked about it to his army buddies, which is totally normal.
I went swimming once.
I went swimming. You know how when you're swimming and your entire asshole fills up with water and everyone's like, no, we don't, Pujol.
Tell us more.
And his name is Pujol.
Pujol.
With his friends gathered around, presumably resigned to the fact that the dinner party didn't quite have the original classy tone they had intended. I mean, you should put your name on it if you're going to be the best in the biz here.
Agreed.
Pujol placed his anus below the surface of some water and sucked hard. Amazingly, he could still do it.
Wow.
With further training, he discovered he could suck up about 2 liters of water and roughly the same volume of air in one go by bending over and covering his nose and mouth, then contracting his diaphragm.
Wow.
This increased the volume of his abdomen and pulled in air, much the same way your lungs do. A few training montages later, he could also vary the volume and pitch of his farts.
There you go.
Do impressions of other people's farts.
That's what it's about.
This is what it's about. Okay. Play the flute from behind and blow smoke rings out of his anus and mouth at the same time.
I would pay to see this. All of it.
Are you kidding me?
What a grand finale.
I'm sorry that I'm reading so much, but we have to know more.
I would say never stop.
I already want to crawl up inside that anus and take a little nap.
I know, right?
Joke.
And here's something good if you were going to do that. His farts were also apparently odorless.
I'm sure because he's giving himself enemas every day.
Yeah.
The next part of this sentence, perhaps due to Pujol giving himself 5 enemas a day.
Guys, I have not read this article.
She wrote it.
I wrote it.
I
love Spider-Man.
When I think Shaw, I think Spider-Man.
A 2013 paper in the journal French Cultural Studies explained, quote, the air he expelled and used his sphincter muscles to make vibrate, much as we do with our vocal cords when we speak and sing, was fresh air he had anally, quote, breathed in.
Yeah, they don't have a word for that.
No,
because it's not breathing. It's not inhaling.
Yeah, although we
create one.
We have gotten a lot of stories about the fact that apparently we can breathe through our buttholes.
Tell me more.
Well, that's a different story.
Well,
we got to stick with Pujol.
It can osmosize through the intestines.
I mean,
and then
some of those words.
Can carry it
through. Exactly. Exactly.
Mm. That's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So naturally, Pujol's eyes lit up with dollar signs, and he decided to take his show on the road.
Yes.
Before long, he secured an audition at the Moulin Rouge, where he nervously sucked up water and cleaned out his moneymaker before playing tunes to the owner who hired him immediately.
On the spot.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You give him the keys. You say, lock up when you're done, bud. Yeah. What else can you do?
Yeah. This is your show.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's the Poulon Rouge now.
Yeah.
You may picture Paris.
We don't ever have to see your face.
You may picture Paris as a pretty sophisticated place, but people went absolutely crazy for a man on stage squeaking out Le Marseillais from his butthole. He became the highest paid performer in the whole of France. And for a time, things were good.
Mm. But could go wrong?
He threw it all away by doing something the Moulin Rouge could not tolerate.
What?
Let me guess. Did he spray diarrhea as far as he could make it go?
Yes. I would not tolerate that myself.
I would not tolerate that. No, it's much more... It's much more typical, and we still see things happening like this
today.
Did he
put a squirrel in his butthole and shoot it out, and it bit someone's face?
Something so much more boring and pedestrian.
Oh, he punched somebody.
No.
With his butt.
Did he call someone a bad word?
No.
Hmm.
Would you like me to tell
you? He was homosexual.
I know it's not sexual harassment because they didn't. Everyone put up with that.
Yeah,
back then, in France
in the 1800s, please.
It's even more just boring and litigious.
Oh, I love this. He stole some money?
He ate a crouton with his mouth open.
No.
He is more litigious?
Mm-hmm.
Did he just not show up for work for a few days in a row?
No, but close to that boring.
Oh God.
Close to that point.
He
only did half of his routine?
Nope.
He faked it?
Nope.
All this was a hoax.
He blocked someone from getting hired that could fart out of their nipples?
No.
He stole money?
No.
Okay, I give up.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Passing gas on his own time. Joseph attempted to drum up business for his friend's gingerbread stand.
Okay.
By farting tunes to draw in the crowds. Which the club saw as a breach of contract.
Sure.
Essentially, they argued that he was only allowed to pass gas within the confines of the club. You assholes. He is an artist.
That is ridiculous because someone at the gingerbread thing, that was amazing. Where do I go see it?
Exactly.
You?
Exactly, right? People don't understand free advertising when they see it.
Not anymore. Legal disputes
led to the end of his performances at the Moulin Rouge, and he set up his own club.
Yes,
okay.
Good.
Where
okay,
he
good.
Didn't earn quite as much.
Why? Oh. Why not? Because people came for more than just fart.
He was replaced by the Moulin Rouge with another fart act.
Shut.
La Femme Pentoman, who was later revealed to have merely been pretending to fart, using a set of bellows concealed under her skirt.
Oh, come on.
Pujol.
This is a good movie.
This is a good
movie.
I'm
looking at you two right now. I can see. Work on your French accents.
Oh, my God.
Because I have been doing a French accent.
I can do French. You want me to do French? I'll do French.
Or in the back of your throat.
Yeah, I will write this movie. I'll write this movie for you, too. Absolutely.
I mean,
what an honor.
Scotty can write this movie in, 4 days?
Yeah.
That's how he rolls.
Yeah.
I would love to do this, and this can be a love story.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this would be so good. Well, we could make this movie with, maybe $10,000? We could go fund this movie on your bananas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait.
Well, it's an excuse to go to Paris, that's for sure.
We could shoot it in Montreal. We can get the Canadian tax break.
Mm-hmm.
Better.
Mm-hmm.
Break.
Better.
Yeah. Because why go to Paris when you can go to Montreal?
I would rather go to Paris, but they just... Sorry. But I don't... Okay, sorry. Go on.
I mean, let's be real.
Everyone is canceling their Bananas podcast.
I love Montreal.
Hey, will you write that for... You heard it here on Bananas First. Scotty Landis is writing the farting movie about this person.
I can't believe that it's... So here's...
Should
we hear the end?
Well, I... Only if he kills himself.
It is it's interesting. Pujol made a living for decades with his act before World War I put a stop to things. After the war, his act had gone out of fashion, with some suggesting that it could have been because people viewed gas comedy as in poor taste following extensive war gassings.
Mm. Comedy is precious. It's a mirror of society.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. What's popular today is just not going to be quite the same the next day. But that act would kill right now. If somebody in L.A. was doing that act, like entire comedic empires would be built on this
let
person.
Let someone fart like tequila in my face and I would like lap it up.
Yeah. If you're the third person, you know it's disinfected. You just you push the real wild card first, and then, you know, you bring your own bottle.
I wonder, do you think that the French fart movie, like, would it get old watching the fart performances over and over again?
Well, I mean, like, think about
an hour and a half.
I mean, like, think about watching The Doors, you know? You only watched The Doors 2. Do you know what I mean? The movie The Doors. You only watch them do like 2 or 3 songs throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
So we're only talking about 2 or 3 minutes of farting acts? That's fine.
That's right.
This is our Doors.
Yeah.
This would be perfect.
Back Doors. It's called Back Doors, and it's your story. Yeah, we're doing Le Back Doors.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's great.
I want to go back and watch the Doors movie, because I just watched that Val Kilmer documentary.
Good. I recommend Bananas.
The Val Kilmer documentary is very really interesting.
Yeah. I think that's great. I think that you could make this movie pretty well for like a $3 million budget.
Yeah.
I think it's...
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Okay.
All right.
Let's put it together.
I'm excited about this.
You want to write it with Rich?
Sure.
Oh, my God.
I could think of nothing more.
That would be...
I mean, it's truly a good idea.
I'm sort of scared if you put this out, someone on the listeners is going
to
take it.
I think we can ask all the Bananimals to please protect our intellectual property rights to this historical information.
But now, what about Trap?
What
Miss Trapp, she's the one who found it.
Colleen Trapp is, I think, going to be happy if we write
we'll
it.
Give her
I
think she'll get a lawyer. We'll give her a non-speaking role right in the front row. She will faint at the first show.
Yes.
Or they will faint at the first show when the first squeak comes out.
Yeah.
And they'll wheel them out. And then somebody outside that works for like Le Parisien will be like, what's going on in there? And then suddenly, you're going to be printing money with
that.
Oh, my
God. I'm ready.
What is... Sorry.
Okay, so question.
What is the tone of the movie?
I think the tone of the movie...
It shouldn't be broad, am I right?
It shouldn't be broad, I don't think.
But it's funnier if it isn't broad.
Yes, no, it should be kind of serious.
I think it's great if it's serious, because it's like it's based on a true story. Do we have to get rights from the estate?
Not that
I
old.
Don't think so.
Not,
1857?
No.
Also, they refused to allow an autopsy on him. Because they didn't want his secret, his
family.
Family
that's
after
what I
he
mean.
Died.
It might be like Roald Dahl's family.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason there hasn't been a fart movie made.
Yeah, we're looking into it. We'll get there. If not, we'll do composite characters and put it in Madrid. You guys could pass as two Spanish.
Okay, let me use my Spain accent, Melissa.
No, I think it should be very serious and like quirky and strange.
Yes.
Yeah, ooh. But also it's going to be eventually funny.
It could be like Frank.
Oh, like Frank. That's interesting.
Like Frank.
Yeah. Cross between Frank and American Pickle, maybe.
I haven't seen American Pickle.
Oh, you should see it.
I know.
It's pretty funny. But
Yeah.
Anyway, Scotty, can you just tease us?
This is such an exciting day.
We're having a great time.
Yeah. Can you tease us out to a break?
Yes. How about this one? And this is like, this is old school banana stuff. I heard about this story in 2007.
Okay.
But we'll talk about it because I think we're all going to have a little something to do with it. A decade after a secret apartment was found inside a Providence mall, the artist, Michael Townsend, is still banned.
All right. I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with more.
Bananas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah.
How do you guys not
get that
movie
to your mic? Keep it up.
Oh, I thought we were on break.
We were live.
We're live to tape. Great podcast by Johnny Pemberton.
I don't do very many podcasts. That would be so fun. That could be really funny.
Yeah.
I agree.
So French.
We're back, folks.
Hey, guys.
Listen, if you haven't yet, go follow us on Instagram, The Bananas Podcast. Send us your strange news stories.
Please do.
Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can do that really easily at ratebananas.com.
Yep.
R-A-T-E, bananas.com.
We'd
you got
love
any shout-outs before I got this one? I got one.
Just one. I was at Club TG the other night. You know
Club
that bar
TG.
In Atwater? It's the oldest bar in Atwater Village.
We should think about it for Hot Tub. It's got a great little side room.
Is Virgil really done?
I don't know.
I hear it's for sale.
Well, let's buy it.
Let's buy it. Do you have $24
million? No.
By the time this fart movie comes out, we'll be just buying real estate left and right.
We'll be like Quentin Tarantino saving the Virgil.
Yeah, we're glad about it. But anyways, I went there the other night to meet with a friend, and my first Bananimal that said, "Are you Scotty?" And I go, "Yes." I heard my voice. Jen Brown,
wow,
who is a fan and follows us on Instagram and stuff, and I spoke to her and had a great time. Met her friend who did not want to be mentioned on the podcast.
Okay.
But Jen, Club TG is the new roost, Kristen. Club TG is the new roost.
That's awesome. Oh, can I give a shout out?
Yeah, of course.
I just wanted to shout out to my friend Liz Banks.
Love Liz Banks.
She's a big Bananimal person, listens to every episode.
Love Liz Banks. Listen
to an episode with Liz Banks. She's the best in the biz.
She is the best in the biz.
Oh, that is wonderful.
And you know what? Liz Banks can be Banana of the Week.
She might hear it. She might hear it, which is great.
Banana of the Week.
What a crazy time.
Yeah.
Okay. This is my shout out. You ready?
Yes, sir.
So, DM Instagram handle Rixie Business.
Okay.
Has been sending us fake names for months. I mean, not fake names, like crazy names.
Yeah, real
and I just would just
names.
See them every once in a while and I'd be like, this guy just loves to
yeah,
make up weird names and send them to
he
us.
He knows I love weird
and
names.
Then,
are you sure it's not Carl Bennett?
No, it's not. But then I realized at some point that he is a mail carrier.
Yes.
And they are all real names. And now, of course, I'm trying to get it, and I can't get this up here.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and I was at some point, I was like, wait a second, because he sent me a piece of mail. Like, he had, like, marked out everything other than the person's name. The person's name was insane.
Anonymous, yeah. We're not doxing anybody.
No, not getting doxed, but these are all real names of people that he has delivered mail to. So these are all real names. Bill Gilstelpe, Chad Sprankle, but these are all real. God. Sal Palafox,
great name.
Yumi Billings,
good name.
Jorg Mollenhoff, Colt Champion, and then he sent us Colt Champion like it's actually a real name.
That's a good name.
And then that when he sent Colt Champion, I was like, shit, I missed the part where these are all real names. Can we say some of these on the puns? He's like, that's what I've been hoping for.
Yeah.
I
love names. Oh,
it's so great. And then he said, here's the rules. Just a couple things. One, all names are spelled correctly. Two, no names have been made up. Three, Firkin Top and Bill Jesseltep occupy the same house. So I will look up more, and on another episode of Bananas, we'll get even more. Edwin Denby, Ink Winchers, and Connor Disco. He's been sending them to us for months.
Oh, I love that.
And I just had no idea that they were actually real. But anyway, thanks, Rixie Business.
Yes, thank you so much. And you did. He understood that we get bombarded on DMs. We get, I don't know, 10 every 5 minutes or so. And so he switched us over to thebananaspodcast@gmail.com. And we appreciate you appreciating our time. Okay, let me tell you about the story. Yes. We're here with the great and powerful and mighty Kristen Shaw.
An old friend.
An old friend.
The oldest of friends.
This is the
20-year-old
triple threat trio.
Really is.
We were all losers together. Now we're medium losers together. Now we can at least go to the grocery store without checking our ATM receipt. And that's basically all we can claim.
Yep.
Okay, so this is two stories. There's one more recent, but I'm going to talk about the original one just in case you've never heard of this. So this was originally sourced Associated Press from 2002, but this was sent in by Miss_Umbra, who I think has sent in stuff before. Thank you, Miss Umbra. And so the leader of an artist's cooperative has been sentenced to probation for setting up a secret apartment inside a shopping mall's parking garage as part of a project on mall life. So this is from 2007. Okay. Michael Townsend, who was then 36, said he and seven other artists built a 750-square-foot apartment in 2003 and lived there for 3 weeks at a time for 4 years.
What?
Yeah, they were living in the mall. It's crazy.
What part? Where was it built?
It's a great question. And there's photos. Yeah, and there's another podcast did a whole story about this, and I'll give that... I'll give them a shout out when I get to the end of this. But so basically, there was a cinder block wall with a nondescript utility door that kept this loft hidden from the outside world.
Wow.
So there's basically a crawl space behind an I-beam in a parking garage that was connected inside the mall. So it was just dead space.
Wow.
So they discover it. But inside the apartment was a fully furnished, down to a hutch filled with china, a Sony PlayStation 2. There was no running water, but they used the mall bathrooms, they always had mall. And then on the website, he said he was inspired by a Christmas time ad for the mall that said, quote, oh, in an enthusiastic female voice talking about the mall, how great it would be to live at the mall. It's that fun. So he built his dwelling out of compassion to understand the mall more and life as a shopper. Towson said he had plans to make the apartment super sweet with laminated wood flooring and other perks, but it fell apart when they were busted, so they eventually got caught. So
after 4 years of living there.
Yes.
Wow.
And hanging out there, there's photos. I mean, it's really well documented, but it was basically like an art project to live inside this building where nobody found them.
I love it.
And so the updated version is by Kate Mulvaney. This was what was sent in by Miss Umbra, and this was in the Providence Journal. So...
Wait, it's in Providence, Rhode Island?
Yeah.
It's that fucking mall in Providence, Rhode Island?
I think so. It's called Providence Place.
Yeah, the one that's downtown. Yeah.
It's carpeted, I believe. Mm-hmm. But weird for a mall. Weird for a mall, right? But yeah, they're not doing... All the artists that live there haven't had a grand reunion, but everybody's doing well. That's the updated thing. But they made headlines because the 750-square-foot apartment in the belly of the mall, beneath an I-beam, that nobody really remembered it was even there. Like, there was just not even on, like, the schematics or whatever. But it had a sectional sofa, a love seat, a coffee table, a breakfast table, 4 chairs, lamps, a throw rug, a hutch with china, paintings on the walls. And they had bold plans to add plumbing and install those wood floors. It's the only thing they lacked was running water and a toilet. But they held meetings, lived there, slept there, drank there, watched TV, played games. It was basically they just lived for free for 4 years inside of a mall.
I love it.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's the best.
It's the best. It's a dream. It's the dream. It's every child's dream.
Yes.
To like climb underneath one of those racks of clothing and then find an apartment and stay there forever.
Yes. It's crazy because mall culture doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
The big... online shopping is completely, but like that era and like 2007 really is kind of that edge where like Amazon really started taking over the world and stuff. But like the 80s and 90s, and it's obviously in every mall and TV show, the mall was like a true destination that felt like you were on another planet. It was special. And these guys just capitalized
I just recently with Olive, we're trying to get her a COVID test because she's about to start preschool. And so I was like searching for the place where I made the appointment. Turns out it was like in a van in the parking lot of this mall. But it was an old...
Take your daughters.
But it was in this... I was walking around this mall where like half the shops are shut down.
Yeah.
And Olive, who is 4 years old, walking hand with my hand, she goes, "You know, Papa, this is a real weird place." And I was just like, "Well, honey, when I was a kid, it was very, you know, normal to come to the mall. Now, not so much. So weird things exist here now."
It was amazing. When I was in high school, I used to go to Owings Mills Mall, and it was like the mall to go to. Your parents would drop you off and pick you up 3 hours later. You'd pool your money and like split mozzarella sticks at Ruby Tuesdays. It was like, we're having fun. And you know how in your small town, news anchors feel like celebrities? Like when you were a kid, it was like you'd watch morning news.
Oh, Aunt Trujillo.
Exactly. Do you remember yours, Kurt?
No.
There were two on...
Because mine were New York.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so they were just like, they were very famous.
Yeah.
Al Roker, you know?
I got you. Well, we had Don Scott and Marty Bass were the morning drive guys, and they were like, cool. And they were also totally coked up. You could feel it. Well, maybe not Don Scott. So anyways, they, you know, it's like a local celebrity. So I'm in the mall with my friends. I'm with Dan, Jason, and Steve. And we're walking around, goofing off as you do. And we are going down a down escalator from the second floor to the first floor near Macy's, the good end of the mall. And my buddy goes, "Hey, there's Marty Bass." And Marty Bass looks like he's like bald, like Larry David hairstyle, but like we'll say he was probably late 30s at this time.
And he's a radio DJ.
Morning TV guy. So he was your morning drive guy.
Great.
Where you would watch local weather and sports and all that with Marty Bass and Don Scott. And so Marty Bass is a hilarious name.
It's such a great name.
Your name thing reminded me of this. And we're going down, and so he's coming up the escalator, and it's pretty much empty besides us, and his back's to us. And like two of my friends are like, "That's not him. That's not Marty Bass." And then finally, right when we're passing, my buddy Steve goes, "Hey, Marty Bass." And before he gets Bass out, Marty Bass pivots on his heel, points at us with both finger guns, and goes, "I'm the Bassarino." And then goes up past us because he's on the escalator.
He needed that one that day.
He's like,
it.
If one person recognizes me at the mall today, I'm going to get this promotion.
And it was so dramatic.
It was all worth it.
We kept going down. He kept going up. So he was like winning in life. "I'm the Bassarino." And you're like, cool. And then never saw him again. But every time I think of mall, I think of Marty the Bassarino. Oh. Just having a great day.
That was a trend at that time of putting like Eno at the end of things, you know, like Matarino and stuff
that. That's right.
That was a thing. That was like one comedy person did it once.
It's from Saturday Night Live. It was Rob Schneider working at the copy machine.
Nice.
God, he built a whole career off of it, basically.
Yeah.
Wow.
My mall was called Twin Peaks.
Oh,
Fashion
really?
Mall.
And pretty cool.
Yeah. It was, Orange Julius, Walden Classic. Books.
Wow.
Claire's, you know, or
was
whatever.
There,
get
was
your
there
earrings,
milk in
pierced?
Orange Julius?
I don't think so.
It tasted like milk
to me. Yeah, it was weird. They were like oranges plus cream. Love it?
Right? Yeah.
And I did.
And you did.
But I remember just coming, you know, going through puberty, going to that mall, and I had like a leotard, and one day I put the leotard on and then jeans and then like a little button-up shirt kind of buttoned over it.
Yeah.
Adorable.
I know that look.
Yeah.
Adorable.
Then two boxes of Kleenex tissue where I didn't have boobs.
Stuffed them in.
I just started with a couple and just I couldn't stop.
Yeah, why would you? Why would you?
Two crumply boobs.
Just paper mache.
Hi, boys.
Yes. Yeah, just wanted to try a new look.
Is this General Tso's chicken sample for free? You are 12.
I was a late bloomer.
Hey, boys, can I keep the toothpick? Please, somewhere else.
Man.
It was the best. It was magic.
It was really magic. I think my first kind of like taste of public performance was at the mall.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Like how Britney Spears got her start and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
No, not actually like making like. So this is what we did. So we would always go to the mall, right, in Jersey, and you could smoke in the mall, and we all smoked.
Incredible.
Isn't that crazy?
Incredible.
Isn't it insane? That like we're a bunch of 15-year-olds, and we just
indoors.
Go to the mall and walk around smoking cigarettes. So crazy.
Hey, you want to go in the Imaginarium? Yeah, why not? We're here.
I'll go put my cigarette out in the hallway before I go into the store.
Amazing.
So crazy.
Amazing.
So I had a camera, a video camera.
Yes, sir.
And this was 1993, I believe.
Fun.
And we put a, it was like the first time I kind of did something like this where it was a bunch of, we were all like, whatever, 17. And we put a potato on a stick and then we painted a face on it and then gave him a cigarette.
Funny.
And then lit the cigarette and then went in and then the whole shot, the shot was just the potato on the stick so you couldn't see anyone else.
Inspired by Jim Henson. And
it was inspired by Jim.
Yeah.
So he was Mr. Potato on a stick.
That
and then
fun.
He would go in and just like talk to people.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what are you doing? You know, I can't even remember what his voice was now.
Probably that.
I think he went into Chess King. Chess King was a mall.
A chess
in,
store?
It was a store. No.
Was
like a
chess?
Cool... It was a cool clothing store called Chess King.
Yeah, nothing cooler than playing chess.
Yeah.
And it was just like thumping music outside, and he went to Chess King and made fun of the music, you know.
Do you still have those videos?
I do still have those videos.
Did people respond? Were people happy, or were they like, get out of here and stop smoking, you teenagers?
No, you were allowed to smoke, so people didn't care that the potato was smoking, because we were smoking too. so everybody's smoking. and then a security guard, after like an hour of us shooting in the mall, a security guard kicked us out. And so we have that where I'm talking to the security guard it was like essentially our version of Triumph.
Insult Triumph Dog. Yeah. Can you put a clip of it up on the Bananas website?
I would
find
it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have to figure out how to digitize those tapes because they were literally
different tapes.
That were the size, they were the thickness of a VHS tape, but this big.
Yeah.
So in order to play it, you'd have to like pop it into another VHS tape size.
You have to send that to a company.
I got to get them all digitized, yeah. But it would probably just be completely obnoxious.
And you were probably nervous. Huh? Were you nervous like beforehand?
Yes.
You're like, you like think it's anarchy.
Thrill. You think what you are doing is burning the mall to the ground.
Yes.
And instead what you're doing is coming like 7 feet in the door and being like, screw you, and then like running away.
There was a thing like that near my mall in this like area, and it was like a development near the mall, and it was called like Thoroughbred Run or whatever, and they had a sign with a horse on it and a fountain underneath, and the big prank would you would just dump laundry detergent in the fountain, then run away, and then the foam would cross the whole street, and people would hide like as if they were snipers and assassins, ending like shooting a world leader, and you'd lay under pine trees with like a thing of all or a thing of tide, and you'd be like, "There's no cars in either direction." You'd run over, dump it in, and then just run away. And then like 45 minutes later, you drive by in your piece of crap car and just watch foam covering the entire street.
Wow.
Drive your car through it. It was so fun.
And then there was just one guy just being like, getting out his mop and then having to mop it.
Yeah, just having to hose it. The fire department gets called for the third time that week.
The most anarchy I got into was it was a solo journey where like the day before high school started, I was like, no one talks about this enough, but it's really cool. And I drew for the entry doors, there was this big pavement sidewalk to walk in, and I drew.
Yeah.
Sorry. I drew the. Kurt just coached me on holding my mic to
my
mouth.
First time for everything.
anyways, it was huge. You know, it was like the size of a parking lot to walk up into the high school. And I drew a giant female reproductive system.
Yes.
Like just a huge over. I don't know why, but I was like, everyone should see this.
That's awesome. How
That's
old are you?
Cool.
And I did it in front of Kmart. Like 15.
You're like, I went well at the high school.
It was
school.
With chalk, you guys. Like, it wasn't that.
Everybody needs to see what's going on down there.
Inside of me.
That's so great. I love that. How old are you?
Probably like, you know, 15, 16. Yeah. Stupid.
Sound like a pretty fun kid. You had some good.
But I had to do it alone.
Yes.
Like,
They sell chalk at Kmart.
What?
They sell chalk at Kmart.
Yeah.
You could have drawn as big as you wanted to. What you got for us, Curdy B?
Are you ready for it?
I would love it.
I love wanted to do a little fun one. This one's just going to be fun.
The other two were fun.
Yeah.
Everything's fun with Here you we guys. Go. We always have fun together.
This was sent in by a lot of people.
Great.
This was the original one was sent in by a lot of people, but then this follow-up was sent in by DB_danger on Instagram. Mm-hmm. This is from the BBC.
Heard of it.
Paul Taylor's Rude Name Place tour suffers hitch after twat. So this is not written by anyone. Okay. It's from August 27th.
Meet a man in the biz.
Touring places with rude names on a 50cc moped will complete his journey in a hire car after his engine seized on a remote mountain pass.
Okay.
Paul Taylor from
Wantage,
Oxfordshire.
Not a rude name.
No,
place.
Is making the charity fundraising trip, which started in Shitterton, Dorset. In memory of a friend who died of cancer.
There you go.
He reached Twat in Orkney on Wednesday, but broke down the following morning near Cairn O'Mount in Aberdeenshire.
That's
just
fine.
Put a bunch of words together.
That's fine.
His trip so far raised nearly 20,000 pounds for cancer research.
Is it
good?
Still going?
Yeah, Mr. Taylor said he got really upset after his engine expired. He said, "I know it's only a bit of metal, but you get attached to it. We've seen
you
some
do.
Amazing places
you really
this
do these
week
days.
Or so.
You do.
I did 1,200 miles on that thing in a week. It did really well. I did half expect it. I was overworking it, but I got to the point where I thought we were actually going to make it."
Yeah.
So then he calls it his moronic moped marathon. He's going to continue on. He is due
guy.
To complete his challenge in Bellend, Worcestershire.
Is Bellend rude?
Bellend is a British word meaning dickhead.
Oh,
that makes sense.
We're an educational podcast.
Yeah. So here are, this is, so now I'm going to the original one to get some of the more funny names.
Yes, sir.
The places that he is going to.
Oh, that's what we're here for.
That is what we're here to. He started at Butthole Lane.
We've talked about that before.
He started at Shitterton. He went to Butthole Lane. he got through Dull.
Yep.
And then was going to Twat.
Okay.
Where else?
Always a good time in Twat.
Always a yes.
Always fun.
Happy Bottom Nature Reserve and Sandy Balls New Forest Holiday Park.
Oh my God.
This guy's got a great sense of humor.
Funny street names on his itinerary included The Knob in King Sutton, Northamptonshire, Butthole Lane in Shepshed, Leicestershire. Jesus Christ, these names are killing
yeah,
me.
Guys.
And Titty Ho in Ron's Northamptonshire.
Wow.
You did well.
Thank you, thank you. It really was tough for
New
me.
New Jersey.
You did well.
New Jersey. That's the moronic moped marathon.
We'll
he's
donate.
A beautiful man.
Oh, yeah. Is there a GoFundMe? Is there an anything? We'll
sure
figure
is.
It out.
When he goes, so does he show up and then just sort of get a picture next to the sign and then blog it and keep going, and that's his deal?
Yes, exactly.
That's
that is
lovely.
His deal. He's doing it for 20,000 his buddy.
Pounds. It's no joke.
He's doing it for his buddy. His friend Alexis Leventis died of cancer last year, age 55. He wanted to do something to, quote, to help beat this awful disease and
yes.
believe the trip was a, quote, suitably ridiculous place to start.
I love this.
Yeah, this
I mean,
is
it's right
gorgeous.
Up our alley.
This is
a 50cc moped.
There's a movie.
Yeah.
That's another movie. That's
just thinking in movies, folks.
See, these stories are just so beautiful
they
that
are.
You guys tell on your bananas. Well.
Yeah, that would be good. That is good. When you do dumb things to raise money for causes, it's the most. We love doing it. It is our brand. It's maybe the thing we do the most.
It is.
Kind of makes me sad that I don't live in a rude named town.
No, well, there's a lot in the United States. We always get people sending in rude named places.
Yeah.
So I believe there's a fuck, like New Mexico or
there's
something.
There's definitely a dildo.
Yeah.
We get that one a lot.
Hell.
Yeah, there's a hell. There's a lot. There's pillow. Yeah. That's a famous one, pillow.
Well, yeah, when we get East Banana Land up and running, we'll also, maybe we'll just get like a Sprinter van and just drive to all the dirty named ones too and send postcards back to Banana Land.
I love it.
We'll get our postal worker really recognizing us as a micronation.
I love that. All right, Scotty, give us another one.
That's a great story.
That was a great one.
Yeah.
Good for you. Kristen, I did do this one because of something you can, I'm paraphrasing and correct me, but I think about 12 years ago, maybe longer, you told me when you were in college, you tried to get into an acting class with the best voice professor, uh-huh. and she heard your voice and said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
She thought you had a bad voice.
Yeah.
What?
And how many TV shows and movies, animated, do you think you've done? Ballpark.
How many episodes?
Voice actor.
How many episodes?
Total, yeah.
Oh, episodes. Because like a Bob's Burgers alone is what, 20
Gravity Falls,
a year?
Right?
So that's 300 of just Bob's Burgers, right?
200.
200 of just Bob's Burgers.
Pick how many Toy Gravity Story Falls? 3. We're going to say, let's say.
I'm very excited.
I think 500 hours. I think like 500 hours.
I've had a blessed career.
Yeah, 500 hours.
As a voice actor.
Yeah.
After being told by a professor.
Yeah. That, she just didn't think it was good enough for theater because of my lisp and stuff. Because that college training program was, you could do Shakespeare, you could be versatile, you know. And it was definitely not.
It hurt your feelings.
Oh, yeah. When you're 19, 20 years old and you get told that your dream isn't going to. You don't have the tools to do it, and you won't be able to get them with what you have to work with. It is devastating.
Yeah.
Because she worked with Sigourney Weaver.
Oh.
And so that was what we were trying to achieve.
Well, perfect segue, not having the tools. And then look at you go. I mean, you dunked on her a million times.
She was wrong. I think
she was wrong.
I think college, that training program in general was, Billy Eichner was also in my class.
Yeah.
They did a good job, but I think sometimes the best things you can learn in a theater program in college is your peers, and connection,
right.
And to go through the rest of the journey with, but which you don't really have to pay for. You can skip college probably.
Yeah, I'll tell you, if you really want to be a performer, I agree completely.
Anyways,
I remember you telling me that really over 10 years ago, and it was just like, it always blew my mind that somebody said that to you, and then they couldn't have been more wrong. This one was sent in by Jacob Kaye or Callie, written by Melissa Locker. I mean, she's really good.
Maybe even the best in the biz.
Ah, nice.
Best in the biz. Girl born without hands wins national handwriting competition because nothing can stop her.
Oh, yes! Come on. Chills.
Yes.
Chills.
Yes.
Goosebumps.
Yeah. So I got this on CNN.com. Mm-hmm. I believe parents and educators have been worrying about the, quote, dying art, end quote, of handwriting for years, as smartphones and laptops have led to some classrooms spending less and less time on teaching the fine art of writing in cursive. Sarah, I believe it's Heinesley. We're going to go with Heinesley, a third grader from Frederick, Maryland, though finds cursive, quote, kind of easy, using her cursive skills to win the national handwriting competition. It's an impressive feat for anyone, especially a 10-year-old who was born without hands.
Wow.
I really hope it's Heinesley. I'm going with Heinesley, who writes by holding the pencil between the ends of her arms, was trained in the fine art of penmanship by a teacher and quickly learned to love writing. Quote, she can do just about anything, oftentimes better than me or even my husband, her mother, Catherine, said. Heinesley entered the 2019 Zahner Blosser National Handwriting Competition, and the judges were so impressed with her perfect penmanship, she won the Nicholas Maxim Award. The award comes with a trophy and $500 in prize money, as well as $500 in educational materials for her school. So she also did well for her school.
Yeah.
Heinesley reportedly hasn't decided what she wants to spend her $500 in prize money on, but she does hope to inspire other children, quote, who have challenges, end quote, reminding them that in their experience, quote, if you try your hardest, you can do it, end quote.
Oh. Banana of the week.
That's beautiful. Banana of the week.
Pretty crazy, awesome. Right?
Yeah.
And good for her.
Good for Sarah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Not only just learning cursive, but like, you know, now, like, you can draw, you can, there's so many ways to express yourself, and sometimes when you get told no, or think you can't, that I think you work even harder to do it.
Yeah,
I agree.
It's really ambition, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not really talent as much as ambition, but it sounds like Sarah has talent, too.
I think she has both, and so do you. I mean, the whole thing is...
I think you need a combination of both.
I think you do, but I think you really need more ambition than talent.
Yeah, possibly, because I know so many talented people.
Yeah.
And then it's just, you know...
So many people with hands.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. 100%.
That just refused.
Exactly.
Sorry. I don't know if that's the best.
Yeah, no, but it's really true. And as soon as I saw the story, I mean, it's incredible. It's just, that's exactly it. You're going to have people
makes
that say, no, no, no. Mm-hmm. And then inside you have to go, but yes.
It's true. If you can't make the voice inside be quiet, then you just have to listen.
Yes. Yeah. That's really it.
All right. You
that
hear,
is so pretty. Yeah. Can
do you
want to
hear
more?
The last
That's,
one?
Congrats, Sarah.
Let's
oh,
keep
no,
going.
It's almost over.
Yeah.
Well, you know it is and it isn't because we had huge gaps in there. We can definitely do another story.
Yeah. This is, here it is.
Oh, good.
This one is right up your alley.
Are you having
Kristen.
Fun, Kristen?
Of course I'm having fun. I'm hanging out with my friends talking about lovely events around the world.
Yeah.
This one was sent in by Bethany Baldy
Thank
on
you,
Instagram.
Thank you, Great
Bethany.
Name.
This is on visitathensga.com, and this is, the title is, The Tree That Owns Itself. Kristen, this is right for you.
It's not a giving, it's giving to itself, this gift.
It's giving.
Self-love.
We're all One about of it. Athens' most beloved residents and roadside wonders is the tree that owns itself. This stately white oak resides at the corner of Deering and Finley Streets at the edge of downtown Athens. It is an unusual property owner as it pays no taxes, which
Sounds
is...
Sounds like a church.
Got him!
It is a weird, Bethany, who sent this in, is like remarked on the fact that, like, what a weird choice from the writer to just be like, this tree doesn't pay taxes. Of all the things that is weird about a tree owning property, that's probably the least weird. Okay. History of the tree. According to a legend first printed in the local newspaper on August 12, 1890, Colonel William H. Jackson's will deeded the tree possession of itself and all the land within 8 feet of its trunk. Is this deed legally binding? We're not sure, as no one ever contested the tree's property rights. Today's tree is actually a junior. The original giant oak, estimated around 400 years old, fell over during a windstorm on October 9th, 1942. Not wanting the tradition to die, members of the Junior Ladies Garden Club of Athens were determined to replace the tree. Garden Club members gathered acorns from the site and lovingly began growing a second-generation white oak to replace Colonel Jackson's beloved tree. In just 4 short years, on December 4th, 1946, Junior Ladies members planted the sapling that stands tall today as the tree that owns itself. And
Pretty
they still
cool.
take care of it. It's a tree. It's literally just in the, like, a looks like a median because it owns that land. And it's growing.
Hey, Bananimals, if you live in Athens, Georgia, go drive and take a picture in front of that tree with us. We want to see the tree that owns itself. Yeah. Give it a hug.
Give it a hug.
Give it a low five.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm so baffled.
What?
By the fact that the tree owns itself.
Yeah. I think it's just like a... Not a goof, but it's like...
Symbolic.
It's that they just made... he just loved the tree so much, he never wanted it to be cut down.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. So it doesn't... No one owns it.
No one can own it.
Yeah.
But no one can cut it down either.
But also, Kristen, isn't all ownership a crime?
Mm. Oh, probably. I think in general, it leads to more sadness than anything else.
Yes.
I mean...
Yeah.
You know, related to that a little bit is when I was living in Vancouver, it is a total crime to cut down any tree, no matter where you are.
Really?
Even if it's on your property, you cannot cut down a tree.
Wow.
And so there was this big to-do because a very wealthy woman from a long time ago, maybe the 20th century, though, but earlier on, cut down a tree that was blocking her, you know, ocean view.
Outrageous. Wow.
And she got fined.
Good.
And two people are still talking about it.
Really?
And we were shooting the Benedict Society in Vancouver, and we shot a lot in the mansion, which was a college property. And there's, you know, gorgeous lawn and gorgeous trees. And behind the trees is the most beautiful, spectacular view of oceans and islands and Rocky Mountains coming up. But you'll never see it unless you go onto the roof, because it's illegal to cut down those trees. I don't know how I feel about it. I was like, I would maybe go to jail and cut down a few trees to look at the ocean.
Yeah.
Is the American in me or the landlocked Colorado girl that when she finally saw the ocean was like, this is incredible.
Yeah. Well, you can plant more trees, but you can't make more ocean. I mean, come on, guys. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
Sure, it covers 70%+ of the world. And yes, we live a short 45-minute drive at all times.
If you're going to cancel Kristen Schaal for anything, here's your chance,
oh
folks.
My gosh,
She's
guys.
Willing to cut down the
this
trees
is why
for
I'm
a view.
Podcasting. happen.
I do have a goal in life to own a house that has a tree within it. I always like whenever you see those like photos and architectural whatever, and there's like a tree.
Inside the house.
That is so great.
When there's a tree that grows in your house, I would I'd be so happy.
What about like termites though? Or like if a...
It's a possibility.
Then you just deal with it.
Yeah.
Do the termites come from trees?
I'll protect it.
They just like to eat wood.
Yeah, every house is made of wood.
Yes. You're right. There's no risk with a tree in your house.
No.
Clifton's?
Yeah, Clifton's.
I don't think they're real trees, but they put like those fake sculpted trees inside.
Yeah, that place
is
cool.
It makes me happy.
Clifton's downtown LA has like a four-story bar with a weird tiki bar on the top, but then their coolest bar is the second one up, and there's giant fake trees in it. Yeah. It's basically like being in a giant nature preserve, but then it's a huge cocktail bar with big sofas and chairs everywhere. It's awesome.
And Cliff's Edge, another cliff-based tree place. Yes. That was that outside had a lot of trees in it.
Mm. Yeah.
Now no longer exists.
Wait, what?
Well, now it's Barbacari. So you're getting an LA tour.
Yeah.
This is the thing. Please tell me there's been a pandemic. And I'm bitter about it.
Yeah.
I'm bitter about it because I've been keeping my little child like safe.
You have to do that these days.
Haven't been showing her the world or hanging out with grandparents really, and it's a year, over a year of her life is gone.
Yeah,
you got it.
Almost, she's 3 and a half. Like
she's driving.
She's done. So
I told her. I said it was early. I said it was early to get her a car. But she's got a car.
It's a Tesla.
Olive wants a car.
But anyways, I was just thinking, I'm being mad in all these venues, like where we do our hot tub show, is in up in the air.
Yep.
But that being said, when they say that we're losing this and that and the other place, doesn't that just mean another rich person is just buying it and renaming it, and it'll keep the same vibe?
There'll be a big the grand reopening
That's
will
the
happen,
question mark, right? Yeah. But it won't change from bar to.
It might.
Bookstore, which we need more bookstores.
Well, that was,
the wrong word.
People are always doing. Everybody's always buying up land and making those bookstores.
I know.
Oh, the overhead is too good on this alcohol sales.
Less drinking, more reading. That's what all the billionaires say.
What takes up a lot of space and makes no profit whatsoever? Hardback books.
Kristen, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Of course. So, I did your first one ever.
Yes.
And now
maybe
I'm doing
last
your last one. No, it was a pleasure, and I really love you guys.
Love you too.
Anything you want to plug? Everyone should watch The Mysterious Benedict Society.
Yeah, watch it. Binge it up. And
that's on Disney Plus. And you can also watch What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, What We Do in the Shadows season 3 is now premiering and dropping as we speak.
And you can watch that either on FX or FX on Hulu
the next day.
Both great.
The most confusing way to run Hulu is to have then multiple channels inside Hulu that you have to
find.
A lot of backroom deals, okay? when these shows are getting bonzled.
Yep.
And Bob's Burgers, which is going to premiere in a few weeks.
Great.
Ooh, that's exciting.
And
that's
also
right.
On Hulu later.
Folks, Kristen Schaal, 3 television shows going at once. Mm-hmm. That's a new record. It's usually only 2.
One thing that embarrasses me is talking about my career.
Yeah, there we go. We can end with that. Thank you so much, Kristen. We love you.
I love you guys.
Bye. Bananas. But you better believe that it ain't for you. If you're skeptical, then maybe check the facts. Nothing's stranger than the truth. Driving me bananas, baby. Bananas, bananas. Driving me bananas, baby. Bananas, bananas. Driving me bananas, baby. Bananas, bananas. Driving me bananas, baby. Bananas, bananas.
objectifies